athletic competition. It can easily be broken down into two parts: the minutes or hours it takes to complete the event. Then weeks, months, and years of joy or heartbreak. Finally, the decades to analyze and debate it. From the press box to press row, Donald Ware will break it all down for you with an in-depth look at historically black college athletics, as well as the biggest news stories and newsmakers of the day. It's time to talk the talk with those who walk the walk. From the press box to press row, here's your host, Donald Ware.
Thank you for joining me on another edition of the program. Let me clear my throat, and we're going to do that. And as a matter of fact, later on in the program, we're going to clear the way and talk, as a matter of fact, with the one and only DJ Kool, composer of Let Me Clear My Throat, here on the program. Excited to really talk with DJ Kool. He's a sports fan, and in particular, a Washington area sports fan as well. Has done a lot in terms of the music scene in Washington, but obviously this particular song is what has made him world renowned. Like, you can't go anywhere. You almost can't go anywhere or be doing just randomly. This song will pop on. As a matter of fact, I forget where I was the other day, and just, I wasn't at a sporting event. I'm just somewhere, and this song came on, and it's huge. And as a matter of fact, more recently, it has gone platinum. More recently, even in terms of sales. So the difference, you know, you have when records go platinum, people play this song all the time, but are people buying the song, right? That's sort of the deal. And so here now, this song has gone platinum. As a matter of fact, that happened, I believe, on last year. And so gonna talk with DJ Kool. He's gonna join us today here on the program, because obviously we've got a series to talk about. And look, for that week, the last game was played on Thursday to determine the Western Conference champion, and the Dallas Mavericks overcame the Minnesota Timberwolves. And now we've already had game one of the NBA Finals. But I guess my point is, that week in between games was kind of a long week. I mean, look, I know you've got the college softball that is going on. As a matter of fact, Oklahoma back in this thing. Oklahoma is just a dominant program. And so, I've been watching a little bit of that, keeping up with that a little bit. I mean, that's kind of fun. But I mean, you know, football is where, I guess, what, mini camps are mini camps are in swing when you're talking about the National Football League. But it's sort of been slow a little bit in the sports world. And so now to have the NBA back, the NBA Finals, a really interesting NBA Finals matchup, one that promises to be exciting. And look, really looking forward to even more games and to really watching this series between the Mavs and the Celtics. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that today here on the program. But seems like there are some lulls when you talk about the NBA season. There's lulls in every sport, right? Like, the NBA is really hot and heavy right now because you've got the NBA Finals. Latter part of June, early part of July, we'll be talking about free agency. Although, when you think about free agency in years past, whether you've had a Kevin Durant that's been a free agent, or even a LeBron James going from Miami to Cleveland, or back to Cleveland, and then Cleveland to L.A., you've had some of those times. But this year's free agency in the NBA, it's not like you have huge stars because of the way that the contract structures are now. And really, to be honest with you, you've got a lot of stars that have really are the stars dictate what, and not just in the NBA, in all sports, but more specifically in the NBA, are able to dictate kind of what they want to do. So if they're not happy with a particular situation, then they can force a trade by not playing. And so, but still, you've got that NBA free agency that probably won't be as hot and heavy this year as we've seen it in years past. Well, first you have the NBA draft, of course, in the latter part of June, then NBA free agency. Then there's a lull before the NBA kicks back up with preseason, and then the seasons just go over. You know, when you get, and people can, older people can understand exactly what I'm getting ready to say. When you get up there in age, more so, your life is sort of defined by seasons. At least that's how it is for me. It's about seasons. And I don't necessarily mean spring, summer, fall, and winter, although that plays a part into it. You know, for instance, right? Like, you've got the football season coming up. And by the way, I want to take this moment to say that, of course, Box to Row's seventh countdown to kickoff is going to take place on July 20th. Want you to save the date. We are narrowing down on where we're going to be. Okay, it's going to be somewhere in the Raleigh, Durham area. That's what we're looking at right now. But those in the Raleigh-Durham area throughout North Carolina, those that may be visiting Raleigh-Durham, save the date. And those that are not familiar with Box to Row's countdown to kickoff, it's an opportunity where we do a radio show, and we have conversations with head coaches from the HBCUs in North Carolina more specifically, but it speaks to a broader. We don't, you know, it's just how what we're doing right now. Obviously, Box to Row was born here in the state of North Carolina. This is our home base, so this is why we've had it for North Carolina in particular. But it's still, you know, when you think about the schools that are going to be involved, you got CIAA, you've got the MEAC, and then you've got ANT out of the CAA. So you've got some, you know, you've got some connections to some conferences. So even though it's North Carolina based, you're still going to hear during these conversations about the respective conferences and what could happen in those conferences as well. So we have conversations with the various coaches. We of the eight schools, we have six coaches confirmed, hoping to confirm another coach. But anyway, want you to save the date for Saturday, July 20th, with the countdown to kickoff. But getting back to kind of seasons, and that's why I mentioned that, because that leads into this. So for me, it's like, okay, we're gearing up for the HBCU football season. Once that season starts, super busy doing a lot with whether it's the HBCU Football Daily Podcast, of course, it's the play-by-play voice for North Carolina A&T football. We've got a coaches show. There's a game on Saturday. There's travel involved. And then from there, I slide right into basketball season, calling basketball games. And then up until about March or so. And then there's a bit of a lull, you know, for me. In particular, here at Box to Row, we're still doing our show and all those kinds of things. But that's what I mean when I say seasons. And there's just, you know, we're in a here at Box to Row in a bit of a lull right now in terms of seasons. But that's just for me, right? Like, as I get older, it's all about seasons. And so right now, the NBA is in its season. NBA Finals shortly thereafter. We'll have the draft, then we'll have free agency, and then there will be a lull for the NBA. Meanwhile, the NFL will pick back right back up with, you know, we're in the mini camp season, but then we have, you know, full preseason camp, and then, or you have full camps, then you have preseason, and then the season starts. And so it's just a cycle, you know, sort of for me in the NBA is in its current season. Speaking of the NBA, we can talk about NBA finals, but as it was announced on Thursday, now some more big news from the NBA, as now Connecticut head men's basketball coach Dan Hurley, the front runner for the Lakers job. And we talked with Mike Wallace, senior editor of Grind City Media, on last week, and that was not the case last week in terms of Dan Hurley, at least publicly, on the radar. But according to Woj, and had a chance to see, to watch Get Up and on Thursday morning, and that's all that the whole talk on ESPN's Get Up was about Dan Hurley. And according to Woj, it was a situation where this has been their target for quite some time now. Now, a lot of the talk really centered around J.J. Redick, ESPN analyst. He's excellent. You know, former Duke player, former NBA player, sharpshooter. Just when he analyzes, and he's a color commentator too on the NBA broadcasts. But, you know, again, he has no previous coaching, not even head coaching experience, no previous coaching experience. And yeah, maybe for the short term, but I like this talk of Dan Hurley, because he's had success. As Woj stated, he's always wanted to coach at the NBA level, and there have been steps to that. He was at mid-majors, right? He got to Connecticut, back-to-back national championships, and now wants to take that next, or apparently wants to take that next step, or does. He's according to Woj, he's always wanted to take that next step and be an NBA head coach, and from all the reports, that's what it looks like. As a matter of fact, looks like the Lakers are putting together a huge package to, in fact, try to get him. And so this is super duper interesting, and it's what makes the NBA interesting, because while we're in the NBA finals, we're still talking about the NBA as a whole. And anytime you're talking about, you know, the Lakers, especially that LeBron James is on the Lakers, I mean, you know, if a head coach situation is involved in LA, and specifically with the Lakers, then that's, of course, going to be big news. Look, we're going to step aside, take a break, come back again later on in the program, talk some more NBA finals. But up next, we're clearing our throat and talking with DJ Kool.
The Body Armor State Games are coming to Charlotte this June. Registration is open to athletes of all ages and skill levels in 25 different sports. The Body Armor State Games feature 13,000 athletes and 700 teams. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Visit BodyArmorStateGames.org today. The Body Armor State Games are proud to partner with Truist, Harris Teeter, and Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina.
Do you feel like the cost of car ownership has gotten out of control? Take charge by refinancing your auto loan today. One call to Rate Genius can save drivers an average of $1,200 per year. The loan specialists at Rate Genius have helped people for more than 20 years replace high-interest auto loans, lower their payments, and spend less in interest. Rate Genius works with over 150 lenders to find you the most competitive terms. Customers lower their rate an average of 3 percentage points. That's huge savings. It's absolutely free to apply for refinance through Rate Genius, and when you refinance your auto loan, you won't owe a payment for 45 days. Make the 5-minute no obligation call today and get on your way toward affordable car ownership. Call 800-958-0341, 800-958-0341. That's 800-958-0341. Rate and payment values are calculated by using the average savings for customers from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2022. Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on credit worthiness. Value of the vehicle loan term and
on last week's From the Press Box to Press Row with Donald Ware.
Dr. Kiki Barnes, she is the commissioner of the current Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. On July 1st will be the HBCU Athletic Conference. It's going to sound like a strange question, but how you all came up with the name HBCU Athletic Conference?
We're a group of HBCUs in the Deep South. From a strategy perspective, after having all those conversations with the different groups, we felt like HBCU Athletic Conference would help us be positioned to compete compete for partnerships, sponsorships, and give us a strong brand identity in the market.
From the Press Box to Press Row is one of the hottest sports talk shows in the country. Join Donald each week as he takes you on a journey through the world of HBCU sports and pro sports and interviews with top sports and entertainment figures. That's From the Press Box to Press Row each week on your favorite station.
Listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
From the Press Box to Press Row.
Box to Box row. To
Box to Row.
Box to Row.
Thank you for making Box to Row a part of your day. Unfortunately, on today we will not be joined by DJ Cool, but in subsequent weeks in the future, we definitely believe we'll have him as a guest on the program. So, of course, you can check back to our social media at Box to Row, whether it's X or Instagram. At Box to Row, BOXTOROW, or on Facebook, BOX, the number 2ROW, as we will try and get DJ Cool as a guest here on the program. So the National Football Foundation and College Football Hall of Fame released its nominees for this year's or for the 2025 College Football Hall of Fame, and voting will take place through July the 1st. And I want to talk about some of the HBCU players and coaches that are up for nomination on this year. Now, I would think, and look, when you're doing any kind of voting, it should be about what a player did specifically within the scope of where they were. So for instance, it's not about what these players did after their playing days in college football, perhaps in the National Football League or, you know, whatever pro football these players may have played beyond college. It's about what they did in college. And for me, like if I was a voter looking at some of these players, I mean, I can, you know, I'm going to name the list and then I could tell you, okay, based upon maybe some of the numbers, because again, you know, for me, and as I say, with respect to pro football, I'm not really about the numbers. However, in instances like this, when you have to place a vote, when you have to maybe do rankings, sometimes you need those numbers. Sometimes those numbers aid you in terms of where you're going to place said person, how you're going to vote, etc., especially if you did not see the person play. And I know a lot of these players were not seen by a lot of the respective voters, right? Because, okay, let me look. There are, I'm going to tell you how many players, because it's broken down by FBS and then everybody else, basically. So it's FBS in one category for players and coaches, and then everybody else to include D1, D2, D3, NAIA for everyone else. So on the ballot, you've got 77 players from the FBS, 101 players amongst divisional ranks, as it says, and then you've got 34 coaches from the divisional ranks as well. So, and there are no coaches from the FBS level, although I thought there were some coaches from the FBS level. I thought I saw Ralph Regan. And nine. So there are nine coaches. There are nine coaches from the FBS level. So let's just kind of start right there in terms of the numbers. And I don't know, the voting is done. They're tallied up. I don't know if there's a certain number of players that can be elected into the Hall of Fame, if it's a situation where the numbers dictate, like in some sports you may, like for in baseball, for instance, you have to have 70% of the vote to be elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame, et cetera. So I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I'm going to name the HBCU players, give you my thoughts, and then talk about the coaches as well. So in terms of players, you've got Ashley Ambrose, who played at Mississippi Valley State, Vincent Brown, who played at Mississippi Valley State, Paul Dickinson, who played at Mississippi Valley State, William Dillon, who played at Virginia Union, Carl Hairston, who played at Maryland Eastern Shore, Timmy Newsom, who played at Winston-Salem State. You've got Tyrone Poole, who played at Fort Valley State, and you've got Michael Strahan, who played at Texas Southern. So I'm of these players, I didn't see any of these players play. That's number one. I was around during the time of Michael Strahan, of Tyrone Poole, of Timmy. I was real young, Timmy Newsom's time, barely around during Carl Hairston's time, young during William Dillon's time, too young during Parnell Dickinson's time, young during Vincent Brown's time, and a little bit older but still young during Ashley Ambrose's time. So if I was a voter, I would look at it and look at some of the numbers and look at some of the accolades and then read some of the clippings. You know, was the player legendary? For instance, I mean, if you look at Michael Strahan, like we know who Michael Strahan is now. We know that Michael Strahan is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. But again, doesn't matter what he did with the Giants. Although inevitably, you got to figure that some players or some voters are going to factor in the fact that his name is Michael Strahan. So we're talking about Pro Football Hall of Famer, and then we're talking about his life beyond the football field, currently with GMA and, you know, Fox, NFL Sunday, all of those kind of things. But let's look at the numbers, okay? In 92, he was the 1AA Defensive Player of the Year, and he was the HBCU Defensive Player of the Year. For his career, he had 41.5 sacks, and as a senior, he had 19 sacks. Those sound like Hall of Fame. I mean, those sound like Hall of Fame numbers to me. You know, if I was just looking at it and didn't really, you know, again, didn't see Michael Strahan play. But if I was looking strictly at those numbers, those sound like Hall of Fame numbers to me. Now, you know, that's clear to me, right? Vincent Brown, who's the current head football coach at North Carolina A&T, his numbers sound good to me. First team All-American as a senior. In 86, he led all divisions in tackles. When he, after his 4 years were up as a player, he had 570 tackles, which was the most all-time amongst all divisions. So again, amongst what we call now FBS, what we call now FCS, D2, D3, NAIA. He was the leader for all time. That's clear to me, right? I look at some of the other players. For instance, looking at Parnell Dickinson, and some of our older listeners can help us out a little bit. Like, how great was a player was Parnell Dickinson, quarterback for Mississippi Valley State in 75. Listen to these numbers. He was the Pittsburgh Courier's Player of the Year. Of course, the Pittsburgh Courier at that time, you know, was what Box to Row is today in terms of HBCU Players of the Year, All-America teams, etc., right? He was a Player of the Year. He was all SWAC four times, okay? He was a SWAC Offensive Player of the Year as a senior, and by the time he retired, he had totaled 7,442 yards of total offense, which was the most all-time in the SWAC at that particular time. So, you know, if I'm looking at it, I mean, that's someone I think that we could say could be in the College Football Hall of Fame, purely from a numbers perspective. I mean, look, I really don't know. Look, I look at William Dillon, right? Virginia Union, 82, first team, All-America three times, okay? 16 interceptions just in 1983 alone. CIAA Defensive Player of the Year in that year. Carl Hairston was a great player in the National Football League, but again, some of the voters may look at it, okay, and say, hey, let's look at his numbers, or they may remember him, not look at his numbers, but remember him as from the pro ranks. Because for me, when the USA Today asked me to rank the top 100 or give the top 100 NFL players that played in HBCUs, Carl Hairston was on my list, but his numbers in college, again, just looking at the numbers here, three times he was first team All-MEAC, averaged 20 tackles per game in his senior year. Is that enough to get into the College Football Hall of Fame? Timmy Newsom, right? And I think in part, can you tie, and not to get too deep into this, but can you tie Timmy Newsom? Well, I'll get back to that. Let me get back to that when I announce the coaches. But Timmy Newsom, time he left Winston-Salem State, he was the all-time leading rusher in CIAA history. I think he still may be. 3,843 yards. He was all CIAA three times and helped lead the Rams to the CIAA championship in 78 and 1979. I mean, you know, so again, for me, I'd say Michael Strahan is clear. To me, he's clear because of the numbers that he had in college. Vincent Brown is clear because of the numbers and the accolades that he received in college. Everybody else, I'm not 100% sure. Like, I'd like to get some help from you guys, especially some of our listeners that saw some of these players play. Ashley Ambrose, Parnell Dickinson, William Dillon, Carl Hairston, Timmy Newsom, Tyrone Poole, right? Hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow, and let me know if these players should in fact be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Up next here on Box to Row, there are four HBCU coaches that have also been nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame, and we'll discuss them next.
You're listening to From the Press Box to Press Row.
Here with Stephen Curry, your progress from Davidson to now with Golden State.
Where I've come from in high school into a small D1 college at Davidson, and it's a great story, and I'm just having fun, you know, living my dream and riding the ride.
Main event! Jey Uso joining us here. Could there be a possible return to the bloodline?
For me?
Yes. At some point.
I'm gone, D. Hey, I threw the deuces up before. I'll do it again, man.
Come on, main event. That's family, man. I mean, I'm not talking about now. I get it. But down the line, like, come on.
Hey, D, you see how they be treating me, man? Come on, man. That something. It be your own family sometimes be doing you wrong, Lou. I gotta go, man. Hey, I'm doing all right by myself.
She's Simone Biles.
Actually really fun, like, to be honest. Had a lot of fun. We were like, oh, of course, like, we're in the best shape of our life. We're feeling confident about our body, and we hope that other young girls and women, like, feel that being strong is so beautiful.
The one and only Michael Strahan, and cannot have you on without talking about Texas Southern. Cannot. So how did you ultimately end up at Texas Southern?
Yeah, from Houston. Grew up in Germany. When I was a senior in high school, my dad said, I'm going to send you to stay with your uncle in Houston and get a football scholarship. So I went to Houston. I played at Westbury High School for 1 year. Texas Southern was probably the only school that saw me play, being right there in Houston and being a local boy. And Coach Walter Highsmith, I went over to see him, and he offered me a scholarship. It was perfect for me, man, to go to the HBCU, to go to Texas Southern. the size of the school, the education they gave me, not just in the classroom, but about life. I would have been swallowed up at another school. I wouldn't have felt as if I really could have made a difference or had a real purpose of being there. But at Texas Southern, I always felt like I could make a difference and I had a purpose.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Skylar Diggins of the WNBA. Thank you for having me. I'm excited. You know, just been able to work a lot on my body and my shape, and a lot of things that I feel like I needed to work on in the off season, was able to get that done, and you know, it's showing.
Snoop Dogg is on the mic. Pay attention.
I appreciate the love that I get, and I appreciate the sport of hip hop, and it's giving me back that same love in return. You know, for the amount of years that I've been doing it, I've always went into it with the same, you know, spirit of I make music for the people. I make it go for them, and I always make them a part of it. And I never separated myself and tried to be a star. I've always wanted to be one of the people that you can look to as somebody that was, you know, like your uncle, because of the way that I treat people. And I feel like my career is representative of that. That's why the longevity is there. That's why the love is there, and that's why I maintain the status of, you know, being relevant for so many years.
I'm talking about none other than Serena Williams.
That was definitely one of the better matches I've ever played. I've had it just like that. You know, I was really focused, just really, you know, excited.
Demetrius Flannery, a.k.a. Lil Meech.
50 Cent in Atlanta told me that he was going to move me from my hometown, Miami, to L.A., put me in acting classes, and I had to go 5 days a week, 2 times a day. Only had about a year and a half, but once I started, I didn't want to stop, you know, so once in a lifetime opportunity, I didn't want to watch somebody else, you know, get the role of playing my father and me having to watch him on TV. Opportunity passed me by, so I just buckled down and just focused, man. Put everything to the side and made sure that my number one thing that I wanted to do was focus on being the best possible actor I can be for the show. And that's how it happened, man.
That is the voice of Kevin Durant.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every single day. We've been through a lot as a team, and I enjoy playing with a great group of guys. So, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy every moment of it.
That is the voice of Common. You went to Florida A&M.
Oh, FAMU days were some of the best days of my life. I mean, I had so much fun there. It was like invigorating. It was an introduction to a new aspect of culture in the world. I mean, the Southern girls was just incredible. you know, the food was great. The black college experience, you can't beat that.
Kyrie Irving.
Playing at Duke for Coach K. What was that like and how that prepared you for the league now?
Playing 11 games, you know, a lot of people think that's not a, you know, big package for you to become a better player. But for me, it was. Playing for Coach K, he gave me the keys to the car, and I was driving it in first 8 games, and, you know, being a part of something special like that and having a brotherhood built at an institution such as that one is an experience that you never forget.
Ice Cube has been our guest.
Hey, man, thanks for letting me talk a little music, movies, and sports. Hey, my favorite 3 topics.
Hey, y'all, it is the EST of WWE, the strongest, the fastest, the roughest, the toughest, the quickest, the greatest, the best on Box to Row. Tune in if you want to catch the best BEST interview ever.
From the Press Box to Press Row is the sports talk show that is the voice and the talk of HBCU sports, with a flair for pro sports talk and entertainment. Check the show out online at BoxToRow.com.
That's Box to Row, real, relevant radio. In the last segment, talked about the upcoming College Football Hall of Fame, the vote, and voters have until July 1st to make their votes, and then the announcement will be made at the beginning of, or the official announcement will be made at the beginning of 2025 to see who gets into the College Football Hall of Fame. You know, one player that it's clear to me should be in the College Football Hall of Fame that is not, and I don't know the criteria. Do you have to have been away from the college football game for 20 years? I'm not 100% sure of the criteria, but I know one player that should have been, and I had a chance to see him play, Bruce Eugene. From Grambling, should be no doubt College Football Hall of Fame. 1 year, okay, he's one of, when he retired, okay, or when his time was up at Grambling, he had thrown, I think, for like 10,000 yards in his career, right? And he, I don't know if he was, he may have been the all-time leader at the time, or he was up there, maybe top five in terms of, from a 1AA standpoint, in terms of career passing yards. But also remember, Bruce Eugene ran the ball too. Like he was a nimble guy. Had he may have had, if not over 1,000, like close to 1,000 yards rushing in his career, right? 1 year, I think it was the year, I think it was 05. No, we may have sat, it was either he sat out 05 or it may have been 06. He threw for like, what, 56 touchdowns and 6 interceptions? Like, his numbers were absolutely ridiculous. One of the greatest players to ever play, okay, college football. Bruce Eugene, I think, should be in the College Football Hall of Fame, but I'm not sure the criteria. Again, have you had to been out of the game 20 years, 30 years, whatever it may have been? If it's 20 years, then he's close to that. And so I'd have to see what that looked like. But to me, Bruce Eugene should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Let's look at the coaches from an HBCU standpoint that are up or that are on the ballot for the College Football Hall of Fame. Rod Broadway, Bill Hayes, Eddie Hurt, Dwight Reed, and Gideon Smith all are on the ballot to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, there are quite a few coaches from HBCUs that are in the College Football Hall of Fame. There are quite a few, okay, including Willie Jeffries, who is, I mean, what do you say? I mean, he's legendary coach, first black coach to coach at an FBS level, did his thing at South Carolina State, no doubt, had some time at Howard as well. I think when it's all said and done, Buddy Pough will be in the College Football Hall of Fame as well. So let's look at this. And we'll start with Rod Broadway. And look, we had Rod Broadway on the program in 2020. And he had been, I think at that time, he had been inducted into the Black College Football Hall of Fame. And again, it wasn't that much time after he retired. Because remember, he retired after the 2017 season when North Carolina A&T went undefeated. Okay, and it was at that time that I said to him, you know, we must have talked about 30 minutes, talked about his career. And before I got off with him, and I told him, I said, and we look forward to one day hearing your name in the College Football Hall of Fame. This is why, okay? He led 3 different programs to HBCU national championships. Okay, let's take the first program in North Carolina Central. North Carolina Central was not a very good program. I mean, we know North Carolina Central now to be a good program. We knew North Carolina Central during Rod Broadway's time to be a good program. Then Jerry Mack came along. It was a good program. Now Trey Oliver has it as a good program. It was a time when North Carolina Central was not a very good program in football. Rod Broadway takes over. Okay. I had a chance to be at the Aggie Eagle. I can't remember. It was 04, 05 when Central beat A&T. I had a chance to call that game, as a matter of fact, in the Aggie Eagle. In those games, those were tremendous rivalries. Okay. 05, I believe Central may have been 05 or 06 or both, may have been undefeated regular season, had a first round bye in the playoffs. I think it was 05, hosted a first round game, which really was because they had a bye and ended up losing, was like 10-1, was HBCU national champs. It was either 05 or 06, something like that, but had 2 really good teams in 05 and 06. Had a really, really dynamic quarterback, right? Excuse me. Left to go to Grambling in 07. Success there. Also ended up winning the HBCU national championship and the SWAC championship. See, as I get older, these years kind of run together, and I didn't look. I'm giving this stuff to you off the top of my head, not having it right in front of me. But Grambling was HBCU national champs, SWAC champs in like 07, 08. It may have been 08. I think Jackson won it in 07. It may have been 08. And then he let, you know, still some successful years at Grambling, never had a losing season. I don't know if he had a losing season at North Carolina Central, maybe the first season, and then rolled from there. Don't think he had a losing season at Grambling. Then went to A&T, had really good success at Grambling. Went to A&T, okay, 2011, first year. I was there. Took over a program that had gone 0-4 the previous 2 years. Had 30 scholarships. Now in FBS or FCS, you can have an equivalency. Boy, I forget the equivalency level. Even at that time, maybe it was like 50, 54 or 60 something. Maybe 63. I think it was 63 scholarships because I think it's 84 in FBS, 63 equivalencies. He had 30. Okay. 30 equivalencies. First year, A&T went 5-6, right? The last four games were all MEAC games, all on the road, and A&T had a chance on the last possession to tie or win those football games. Okay. That was the first season after a program that was 0-4. Okay. Don't remember 2012. I wasn't around from 12 to 14, but I kept up obviously in this capacity. 13. Significant win. Okay, we talk about the dynasty that was A&T. It began, I think, really in 2013 with the win over App State in Boone. Now that team, I believe, went 7-4, but that win was significant because App State was in the, first of all, App State was maybe the preeminent power in the FCS, was making the transition to the FBS, and A&T went to Boone, North Carolina, beat App State, and took the money. Okay, significant win. Then 14 came. You had that five-way tie in the MEAC. A&T was part of that. 2015, even though it was another tie with Central, I think maybe a couple of other schools maybe have been a part of that. A&T won the Celebration Bowl. 16 was a nine and two season. It was a 9-3 season. Lost to Central outright for what was the MEAC championship. Went to the FCS playoffs. Got an at-large berth when I didn't think that an HBCU school would get an at-large berth because of the Celebration Bowl. But A&T got that at-large berth, 9-2 season. Then in 17, won it outright. Not only that, went undefeated and retired after that. Went 12-0, including a win over Charlotte, UNC Charlotte, who was FBS. Okay, another win back in 16 was over Kent State, FBS. So you look at all of that. His career winning percentage is like 70-some-odd percent or more. No doubt in my mind, Rod Broadway should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Bill Hayes. Okay, let's look at Bill Hayes. The all-time winningest coach in Winston-Salem State history and also the all-time winningest coach in North Carolina A&T history. Okay, won two national championships as a coach. Had a bunch of players that went on to the National Football League, was always right in the mix, won some MEAC championships along the way. But one of the things that wasn't in this particular bio, okay, was that Bill Hayes, who has been on this show before as an HBCU legend and is in the HBCU or the Black College Football Hall of Fame, was the first black coach in the ACC at Wake Forest. That's, to me, part of your legacy. That's part of your coaching. Okay, it's not just, I don't think it's just what you did as a head coach. By the way, Rod Broadway was part of the staff, was part of Steve Spurrier's staff that won ACC championships at Duke in the late 80s and won the national championship when Florida won the national championship as well. That should have been in the bio as well. Bill Hayes, no doubt to me, should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. Eddie Hurt, Morgan State. Now, I don't know if I knew that Eddie Hurt also coached at VUL or Virginia Lynchburg, right, prior to coming to Morgan State. So he was at Morgan State 30 years. I don't know if it was 30 consecutive years because you had World War II. So I don't know if Morgan played football in all of those years. I think it may have. So it may have been actually 30 years at Morgan and then also 4 years at Virginia Lynchburg. Okay, 6 Black College National Championships, 14, think about that, 14 CIAA championships in 30 seasons, okay? 11 undefeated seasons, including the 1943 team, which was unscored upon, didn't give up a single point, okay? And from 32 to 39, the Bears had a 54-game winning streak without a loss. So to me, you talk about Morgan State's one of the great programs of all time, HBCU programs of all time, matter of fact. I'm surprised Eddie Hurt isn't already in the College Football Hall of Fame. So Rod Broadway, Bill Hayes, Eddie Hurt. When I look at Dwight Reed, did some things at Lincoln of Missouri. Is he a Hall of Famer? I'm not 100% sure. Just based upon the numbers. Doesn't mean he wasn't a great coach. Just looking at the numbers. Teams won conference championships 3 times. Coached 93 All-Americans in 4 sports. And the stadium is named after him. That's what the bio says. And then also, as I mentioned, Gideon Smith led the Pirates to the Black College National Championship in 1922 and recorded 4 CIAA championships, including 2 unbeaten seasons, and he was at Hampton from 21 to 40. So that's 20 seasons. Your thoughts? So again, it's clear. Rod Broadway, Eddie Hurt, Bill Hayes definitely should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. You can hit me up via Twitter at BoxToRow, BoxToRow. More BoxToRow on the other side.
The Body Armor State Games are coming this June to Charlotte. Don't miss out on North Carolina's largest sports festival of the year. Athletes of all ages and skills can register now at BodyArmorStateGames.org. Let the Body Armor State Games begin!
Hey there, fellow travelers, it's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. 800-811-3471. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-811-3471.
It's Donald Ware from the Press Box to Press Row.
We're back here on Box to Row. You can participate here on the conversation. Hit me up via X at Box to Row, BoxToRow. Got a chance to see the premiere of Bad Boys 4 on Monday. It came here to Raleigh. And just to think, this was a film we probably weren't, at least at a time, didn't think we were going to see, especially after the slap. I didn't think we would see this film, but I'm telling you, this film is tremendous. I'm a Bad Boys fan from the very first film that came out in 95. And this, and for me, I hate to say this because I was such a really a fan. I mean, the second one was okay to me. Bad Boys for Life that came out, 4 years ago was pretty good. This one not only was really, really good, but I think it was the best one in the franchise. And of course, not to give the film away, but it left the ending, left the door open for another Bad Boys. So it was tremendous. I thought Martin Lawrence was absolutely, Martin was hilarious, like more hilarious than we've seen him in the previous three. And so, you know, hey, I'm not, just know that if you plan to go see Bad Boys 4, it is definitely worth going to see. So let's talk some NBA finals as the Celtics take game one on Thursday, 107-89. It was a tremendous performance. And the way that the game started out, to me, both teams were a little tight in the beginning. I think the Celtics more so. There was a sequence where the Celtics got like three offensive rebounds, missed four shots. Dallas got the ball back. This was very early on in the game. But to me, I didn't know. I mean, I figured at some point both teams would kind of get their shots back. Again, the Celtics had more days off than did the Mavs, but both had in excess of a week off. So you haven't played in a week. You're used to playing, you know, in essence, every other day during the course of a season. And so you're going to be tight a little bit. You're going to miss some shots early on, but both teams really settled in. The Celtics settled in tremendously. And look, I think some thought that the play of the guard play or the stars, if you will, whether you're talking about Brown and Tatum or you're talking about Irving and Luka, would sort of be whichever duo did better. And maybe not just in game one, because it's just one game. Even though it was a blowout, at the end of the day, it's just one game. And the Celtics did what the Celtics were supposed to do at home. Like, you're supposed to handle your business at home, and that's exactly what the Celtics did. So it's one game at the end of the day. But I never looked at it that way. I never looked at it as a duo matchup in terms of not only in game one, but throughout the course of this series. I believe it's about the other players. And I said this last week. One, I said I thought the Celtics would win the series. Two, I believe the Celtics are the better team even without Kristaps Porzingis. Now, Porzingis was tremendous. And I heard a lot of people talking about whether Porzingis would be able to come back, what kind of impact that he would have. Look, I've watched Porzingis play throughout the course of his career. When he was with the Knicks, the issue was not whether or not he could play. Yeah, he was a little bit thin, you know, so you could bump him off the block, and you still can to some degree, but it's a little bit harder now to bump him off the block because he has, you know, he has gained some weight, and after all, he's 7'3", right? So, look, watched him during the only question mark during his time with the Knicks was could he stay healthy? He just could never stay healthy. He could always shoot. He could play down low, 7'3", with that skill set. That's why he's called the unicorn. And as many players that have come to the league with size, I mean, you talk about, of course, Kevin Durant's, you know, 6'11", 7 feet, what he's able to do. You know, you talk about Shaq, but some of these bigger guys, some of the taller players, some of the more dominating players that have come through the game. We haven't seen, but 7'3 is still taller than 6'11". 7'3 is still taller than 7'1". And by the way, I mean, Porzingis possesses an excellent outside game. Obviously, he's good around the basket. As I mentioned and have said this many times before, I mean, he's going to alter shots. I mean, I'm not going to say he's the greatest of defenders, but when you're 7'3", I mean, he can rebound, obviously, because he's 7'3", and he's going to alter some shots. And as good as he was on the offensive end, he was as good defensively. Remember the sort of the chase down block? I forget the player that was getting ready to try to dunk it in. Porzingis came all the way back. And by the way, remember, his calf is the issue. And he was still, I mean, he played like the calf wasn't even an issue at all, especially on that block shot on the dunk. Altered a bunch of shots, was really good. Like, he had 20 points in the game. 18 of those came in the first half, and that's exactly what the Celtics needed. But again, he was tremendous, and you know, I got to say this. In 2022, I had a chance. I was up in D.C. when Porzingis was playing for the Wizards, and look, he started that game out slow, and this was a game in which Russell Westbrook made his return to Washington. He got a standing ovation. I think he got a video. I think there was a video tribute. And by the way, that year was the previous year, in 2021. It was because of him, in essence, that the Wizards were able to make it to the playoffs that year. So he got the tribute in the same game. LeBron James became leading scorer all time in NBA history. I thought it was a treat because generally LeBron doesn't play back-to-back games, and he played the back-to-back in D.C., so it was very fortunate. On the other side with the Wizards, there was no Gafford. Bill was injured as he typically has been. I mean, there was no, not Gafford, Kuzma. There was no Kuzma, no Bill. I think Gafford may have played in the game. And of course, Gafford is playing now for Dallas. And it was basically because of Porzingis that the Wizards were able to win that game. So I've watched Porzingis play, and it was no doubt. And so when people talked about, well, what is he really going to bring to the table and all that, the guy can do so many things. And again, I thought the Celtics could win this series even without Porzingis. You add Porzingis to the mix now. Again, it's only one game. So, you know, Dallas is going to make some adjustments. As a matter of fact, made some adjustments during the course of that game. It was a 30-point lead in the first half for the Celtics. And you could see that the Dallas was making a run towards the end of the half because they had cut it to 21. So you knew they were going to make a run. They did in the third quarter, 29-9 run, pulled it to like within 8. The Celtics, as we've seen, you got to remember, what have you seen from the Celtics throughout the course of this year? Not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs. We've seen the Celtics lose leads like this. And it happened again. But the Celtics settled in. And some of the other players, like Jason Tatum, wasn't great. But he hit shots, and he hit some big shots when they were needed. He was 6-16 from the field. Jaylen Brown, pretty consistent. But you got, you know, Drew Holiday. Derek White came to play. Al Horford was good, right? Hauser hit some shots off the bench. So, look, you had to know that this was a Celtics team. Again, for me, the more talented team, I think this series goes 6 games. And it's going to depend because, again, Celtics are supposed to handle their business at home, and we'll see what happens when we go back to Dallas. But, of course, we've got game 2, and I think the Mavs are going to make some adjustments. I can't give you a prediction in terms of who's going to win this game on Sunday, but the Mavs are going to play better. They're going to have, I think, leads throughout the course of this game, and we'll just see how the Celtics are able to handle the Mavs' runs. Look, my time is about up. I thank you for yours. Again, save the date, Saturday, July the 20th. Right here in the Raleigh-Durham area will be our 7th countdown to kickoff. Some of the head coaches from the HBCUs, particularly here in the state of North Carolina, will be our guests. We're looking forward to having a fantastic time with, as we have for all the years. I think last year was the best year. Those that came, come on through. Countdown to kickoff, Saturday, July the 20th. For more information on Box to Row, you can log on to our website, BoxToRow.com. Also, don't forget to follow us on X and Instagram at Box to Row. And always remember to support those that support you. Box to Row is produced by DW Communications.